God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents of the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoke and mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before coming out of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. This story of Pentecost in Acts 2 is the story of the Holy Spirit coming to where Christ's followers are to call them, sanctify them, and enliven them. This past week or week and a half, I've been a lot of places. I was in Corpus for Synod Assembly. We were in Taylor for a funeral. We were in Kerrville to go to the commissioning of the summer camp staff. All of that is to say, the place that maybe I've been the most has been my car. And in the car, this last couple of weeks, Leah and I have been listening to an audiobook. And we've been listening to a book by Trevor Noah, who's the host of The Daily Show on Comedy Central. It's like a late-night satirical news show. And the book is called Born a Crime, because Trevor Noah was born during apartheid in South Africa to a white father and a black mother. So his very birth was a crime against the laws of apartheid. Many of the early chapters in the book begin by laying out some of the institutionalized racism in the laws of apartheid. And the sort of culture, even after the official end of apartheid, that remained, even remains, in South Africa. And one of the pieces of this book, one of the chapters, a few in, is about language. And in hearing this, I could not help but experience the presence of God's Holy Spirit come to find me in this Pentecost story that includes many languages, as you just got a small taste of in the way that it was read. You see, language, Nelson Mandela once said, this is a quote from Trevor Noah, he's quoting Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela once said, if you talk to a man in a language he understands, that goes to his head. If you talk to him in his language, that goes to his heart. He was so right. When you make the effort to speak someone else's language, even if it's just basic phrases here or there, you are saying to them, I understand that you have a culture and identity that exists beyond me. I see you as a human being. Trevor goes on to say, language brings with it an identity and a culture, or at least the perception of those things. A shared language says we're the same. A language barrier says we're different. Trevor goes on to talk about how in learning lots of languages, there were at one point 11 national languages, official national languages for South Africa. And that was but a fraction of the languages spoken by the people who lived there. And how speaking these different languages, he was able to break down barriers between himself and others. He puts it this way. He says, I became a chameleon. My color didn't change, but I could change your perception of my color. If you spoke Zulu, I replied to you in Zulu. If you spoke to me in Tswana, I replied to you in Tswana. Maybe I didn't look like you, but if I spoke like you, I was you. You see, language, when somebody speaks your native language, the language closest to your heart, it disrupts and confuses these categories that we have put in place. So in apartheid, every people group that spoke their own language and had their own culture was taught that they were to be at odds with others. And all these systems were put in place to make that happen. And by speaking the language of somebody else, you would confuse them because you didn't look like them. But speaking the same language did both show them that you understand and see them as a human being and know that they have a culture of their own, and also bring you closer. Realize just how much you are the same. Language is a central part of the Holy Spirit's Pentecost activity. The apostles speak in languages they themselves have not learned. And people from all sorts of countries and cultures and backgrounds with all sorts of native tongues hear in their own language. The Holy Spirit is making clear that the distinctions that we have drawn do not matter in the presence of God. The Holy Spirit does not wipe away the diversity of the people. The languages all continue to exist, but the barriers that multiple languages created do not keep God's presence and power from being at work. The Holy Spirit, the advocate who speaks for us and through us, the interpreter who speaks to God on our behalf, also interprets between us and one another and reveals to us the truth that all of us are one in Christ. So each understands and hears in their native tongue. And if we are to take what Mandela said, this means not only when the apostles speak does it go into their heads and minds and cognitive function, but it also speaks to their heart. The heart of each hears the good news of God in Christ as proclaimed by Peter this day. You see, language yields understanding and acknowledgement of others. So I'm going to give you a brief language lesson. As part of our seminary studies, we learn the biblical languages, one of which is Koine Greek. It's what I spoke when everybody was speaking in many languages. I spoke not well because it's kind of like Latin and you don't exactly know how things are pronounced. The Greek that's spoken today is different. And so here's a couple of things that I'm hoping by sharing with you about the language in which our New Testament was originally written, further your understanding and speak not only to your head, but to your heart. So first, there's an example in our gospel reading from John of this grammatical structure of Greek. This shows up again and again, but it's really difficult to translate correctly. You see, every translator of a language has to make some interpretive choices. Like, do I translate this literally, or do I add some words and things in so that the point gets across? And every translator tries to do their best. And so there's this conditional sentence structure, right? A condition, like, if this, then this, right? And we get one of those in the 15th verse of our gospel, right? Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, what's not conveyed in there is what type of conditional sentence this is in Greek. It's what I was taught is called a real condition. A real condition means you assume that the affirmative is true. So the way that this is written in the original biblical Greek would sound a little bit more like this. If you love me and you do love me, you will keep my commandments. Because you love me, since you love me, given that you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, I think one of the things that understanding this does is it takes something that we could easily hear as it's all up to me to prove that I love Jesus by doing his commandments, or this heavy, this is all what you should do, this is how you show that you love me, to Jesus saying, I know that you love me, and because you love me, this is the way that you live. Do you hear the grace in that? When it's a given that we love Christ, when Christ already knows that we love him, it changes how we hear some of that. Now, not every conditional sentence in the New Testament is a real condition. So, like, don't go reading all every if as like assuming it's true. This is a good way to get a few of them. But this one is. And so, you know, it opens things up in this new way. It shows us something a little bit different when this language is opened up to us. We come to understand something new about who God is and what's going on in our life and what God is doing in and among us. You see, because God gives us a language to name what's going on and what God wants us to do about it. God sends the Holy Spirit. God speaks to us through Scripture, through one another in prayer. God reminds us at the table that God's very self, the body and blood of Christ, is given for you. God gives us a language to name what's going on and what God wants us to do about it. And the more we can learn to hear and understand that language, the more we know about who God is, who we are, and what it means to be a follower of Christ and a part of God's church. One more Greek lesson. Once you've been given this language that God is constantly giving to us and interpreting for us, and opening up to us, you are called out and sent out. Pentecost is often the story that we refer to as the birth of the church. And part of that is because the word church, the word used and translated as church in Greek, is this word ekklesia. Ekklesia. It gets referred to as kind of like the gathering of people who follow Jesus, ekklesia. But ekklesia, its roots in Greek, mean called out. So the Holy Spirit comes on Pentecost and calls you out. God has come and called us out. In one sense, maybe God has kind of put us on notice. Like, you are the ones whom I have called to go about this work. Remember that calling. Remember how Christ said that together you will do even greater things than I will. Remember that you have been called out. And it's a reminder that God has called you out from the chaos of life. God has called you out from the tombs of our own creation. God has called you out from death. And God has called you out into new life. into participation in God's mission, God's love and forgiveness and abundant and everlasting life for the world. God has called you out and sent you to share this good news. God's Spirit is among us, calling us out again today. Calling us out as Spirit in the Hills from this physical location, perhaps to a new one. Calling us out today from this worship gathering and from our worship gatherings each week. Calling us out and sending us to be the church where you are. And the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, who calls us out, sanctifies and sends us. And the Holy Spirit does not leave our side, but journeys with us and ahead of us, guiding us in our path, reminding us of God's love for us and our love for God, guiding us in following Christ into more life and more love for you and for the whole world.